Okay, today we're going to do Kaf Aleph Amud Bet and Kaf Bet and finish to the end of the second parak. Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, about 10 lines down. Lo yarbeh lo susim. So we're continuing in the things that the king can't do. Yesterday we talked about all his wives. Today we're going to talk about his horses. Lo yarbeh lo susim, ela kedei merkavto. He's allowed to have enough susim for his chariots. V'kesef ezahav lo yarbeh lo ma'od. Ela, so again, lawyer bello ma'od, he can't have a lot of kesef ha'av, but he can, ela kadei liten aspanya, that's in order to pay for the chayalim, the army. V'kotev lo sefer Torah lishmo, he has to write a sefer Torah specifically for him. Yotze l'melchama motziyaima, he goes out to war, he takes it with him. Nichnas hu, machnisaimo, he goes out, it comes back with him. Yoshev badin, he sits in court, the Torah is with him. May save, he can igdo. He sits to eat, it's opposite him. Shneemar, v'haita imo, v'karabo kol yemei chayav. Okay, so it says in the Torah, he has to have a sefer Torah, and they should be able to read it all his days.
Sounds like setting a place for it at the table.
Okay, setting a place for it. I actually thought it was interesting, I didn't know what to make of this, but the wording is all different each time. Motziah ima or machnisa imo, that's the same. Then he imo, okay, maybe that is the same, but the mesev is different. He can negdo, but it's different. It's negdo and
that's
not
why I
imo.
Had a vision of this.
Right. Like, maybe it's not mechubad to be eating with a Torah right next to you, and maybe that's why it has to be opposite him.
I was thinking you fly in an airplane, you'd get a seat for yourself for Torah.
Ah, okay.
Extra ticket.
They don't have airplanes in here. I'm not sure why.
Oh, my God.
Tanu Avanan. Brayta, Kumar quotes a Brayta right away. Lo yarbeh lo susim. Yachol afilu kedei merkavto parashav. Talmud lamar, lo. Lo ino marbeh, aval marbehu kedei rechbo veparashav. So, first of all, this is very typical, where the Mishnah just says the halacha, doesn't connect it to the psukim, and the Braytot, which are sometimes like a, it's at least the style of a Midrash Halacha. Whether or not this appears in the Midrash Halacha, it doesn't seem to, because it would probably have something in the Masoret HaShas that would connect you to it. But it has the style of a Midrash Halacha, which is basically the Midrash Halacha were organized by Psukim, or by the order of the Psukim in the Torah, and it connects it to the Psukim in the Torah. So now we're going to get to what's the source for the fact that he could do a Kedei Merkavto. So what the Gemara wants to do is bring in the Midrash Halacha to be fill in the missing details, which is, where did you get this from? So you might have thought afilu kedei merkavto he wouldn't be allowed to parashav. Talmud lamar lo. It says lo yarbeh lo susim. It could have just said lo yarbeh susim. So what does it mean? Lo eino marbeh. He can't have for himself. Aval marbehu kedei rechbo veparashav. So then hamani mekayem susim. So what does it mean susim? What kind of susim can't he have then? Don't we assume most of his susim are for his chariot? Susim habat lanim. Okay, these are susim that are just there for show, right? Look at my beautiful, you can imagine the king taking around, my stables, all these horses that none of them are used, but they're just looking good. Minayin shafilu sus echad v'hu batel, shehu b'lo yarbeh. How do you know if you have only one sus and it's batel? Like the one wife who's turned your heart away, right? It sounds similar. Talmud lamar, leman harbot lo sus. Okay, that's later in the pasuk. It says, rak lo yarbeh lo susim v'lo yashiva ta'am mitzrayima. Right, that's the concern, that you'll go back to Mitzrayim to get the susim, because that's where people bought them from. Leman harbot sus. So there it says sus in yachid. So they say, that teaches you even one. V'chime achar da'afilu sus echa v'hu batel, kai b'lo yarbeh. So, and once we establish that that's the case, that you can't even have one, so susim lamali. So why do you have to say susim in the beginning? So what did they answer? Lavor b'lo tasel kos sus v'sus. Every additional sus you have that's sitting doing nothing, you're over on a low tasi. Now they say, so according to this drasha, tama dekata rachmana lo, halapachi, havamina, afilu kedei rechbo parashav nami lo. Since the Torah now says, since the Braita establishes that because the Torah used the word lo, that was to teach you that you can't have kedei rechbo parashav. So you would have thought that you, if it hadn't said lo, that you couldn't even have susim for rechbo parashav. Say, can't possibly be. So what do they say? Lo tzricha daf lafushe. What's the lo coming to tell you? You can't have for your own sake and horses that are doing nothing. But if you have additional horses, so that in case one horse in your chariot isn't working and they're kind of in the, you know, ready to be working for the chariot. Or you just have some extras in case, you know, but they're ready for your chariot, that you're allowed to have. In other words, you're allowed to have extras, right? You need some spares, and that's allowed. They're going to do the same thing with the Kesef Zahav. Kesef Zahav lo yerbelo, ela kedei liten aspamya. So again, Tana Rabbanan, we're going to get it from the Pasuk, and specifically the word lo. Kesef Zahav lo yerbelo, yachol afilu liten aspanya, right, which would be straight, it's crazy, right? We can't let the king have money to pay the army. Talmud lomar lo, lo ino marbe, aval marbe u kedei liten aspanya. So now, again, they say, Tamat katav rachman alo, halav hachi avamina, filu kedei liten aspamya nami lo. Would you have thought, really, you can't have money to pay his army? Lo tzricha laharvacha, again, to have extras. Hashada, right, which might mean also, some people say it means you have extras just to scare away the enemy. In other words, they're not actually working, but they're, you know, in backup army.
They still have a role.
Right. So hashada amrat lo lidrasha. So since we now said by susim and by kesef zahav, we're going to darsh and lo yerbelo nashim, my darish bay. Right? So what's this coming to teach you? Limi'ute hedyotot. Right, this is to teach you that other people, and lo yerbelo means the king can have a lot of wives, but a regular person can have a lot of wives.
More than 18.
More than 18.
Seems unlikely.
Even though I think it's unlikely, we talked about this before, they didn't seem likely people even had two wives in the times of the Mishnah and Gemara, but anyway, it's trying to tell you that in theory, you could have a lot more.
But it's not saying that he can't have a hedyot, which is what
right, it's not saying no, and it's not saying that there's, right, there's some other way he could have extra wives, no. That's why they specifically asked the question, because they say, what are you going to do with it there? Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda Rami Ketiv. Rabbi Yehuda now points out that there's a contradiction between two psukim. Vayihi Shlomo arba'im elef urvot susim l'merkavto. Okay, he had 40,000 stables of horses for his merkava. Sounds like quite a lot. Uktiv, vayihi Shlomo arba'at alafim susim. Says he had 4,000. One second, do we use this? Right, it should say ariyot susim. Okay, which means the same thing, basically. So, haketzad. How do you have 40,000 or 4,000, right? Was there a problem with the zero, right? Some sort of mistake here? Imar ba'im, so now they explain two options. Ketzad. Imar ba'im elef itzdeblaot hayu, kolachav echad hayu bo arbat alafim urvot susi. If there were 40,000 like housing areas, each one have 4,000 rows of horses in it. V'im arbat alafim itzdeblaot, if you had 4,000 houses, or stables. Hayu kol achav echad, hayu bo arba'im elef urvot susim. There were 40,000 rows in it. So it was either 4,000 by 40,000 in one way or 40,000 by 4,000 in the other option. It's all the same.
Itzdeblaot has stable in it.
Ah, yeah. I didn't even think about that, right?
What the background of the word stable is, because that's really
right, it's a good question. You have to look after at the Koran. They often have language. I didn't check whether they say something, but maybe they do.
Itzdeblaot just
right, definitely sounds like stable, I'm sure. Okay, thanks for pointing that out. Rav Yitzchak, is it Rav Yitzchak? Rav Yitzchak Rami Ketiv. He says there's another pasuk in the problem in the psukim about Shlomo. Ein kesef nechshav yimei Shlomo lemeuma. He had so much money that the value of money was very low. Uktiv yitain Shlomo et bat paro. No, sorry. Vayitain Shlomo, I skipped a line. Et akesef Yerushalayim ka'avanim. Says the kesef was worth like avanim. Now avanim are not worth nothing. It's not meuma. It's something. It's not a lot, but it's something. So what do they answer? Lo kashya kan kodem shenasa Shlomo bat paro kan lachar shenasa Shlomo bat paro. Okay, before he married bat paro, he was so wealthy that money was nothing. Once he married bat paro, his wealth depleted somewhat, and then money was worth something again. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, so when Shlomo, we're now talking about something that happened as a result of him marrying Bat Shlomo, besides his money supply being depleted, besides returning away his heart that we saw already.
The note says that because he was so busy focusing on getting knowledge, money was worth nothing to him, but after he married her, he suddenly discovered worldly pleasures, and then the silver suddenly had more value in his eyes. Mm,
interesting. Okay. Good pirush. So now what happened? When he married her, Gabriel came down and he stuck a reed into the sea, and I forgot the word sirtone. I know what the word means. I blend.
Sandbag.
A sandbag. Oh, right. It's like a sandbar. Is that what it says?
Bank.
Okay. So, right. Like a sandbar. And a sandbar was created from this kane that Gabriel put in the water. And there, the Kerach Gadol Shebaromi was created. Okay. The krach, the a big city of, you know, that the Romans took over.
Rome.
What?
It says that Rome was...
Oh, that's where Rome was built.
That's
okay.
The seeds of destruction were sown.
Right. So what it's really trying to say is that this is where the Roman... Right. It's hard to say the Rome... Okay.
Around it, the sea formed a sandbank upon which eventually was built the
I guess it makes sense that it's on the other side of the Mediterranean and that... Okay. So what they want to show here really is that the whole Churban HaBayit, which was very relevant in their day, dated all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech, and that was what started changing.
That reed formed the Italian peninsula.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, m'pnei ma lo nitzgalu ta'amei Torah, sharei, okay, why doesn't the Torah generally give their reasons? Sharei shtei mikro nitzgalu ta'aman nichshal behen gadol ha'olam. K'tiv lo yerbe lo nashim, amar Shlomo ani yerbe v'lo asur. U'k'tiv, v'hilei tzignat Shlomo, nashav hitu'et levavom. Uktiv lo yerbe lo susim v'amar Shlomo ani yerbe v'lo ashiv. And I won't go back to Mitzrayim. Uktiv atesei merkavam Mitzrayim b'sheish v'chule. Okay, so basically, these are the places where the Torah gives a reason, and look what happened, and therefore, when the Torah stopped giving reasons for things, because look at what happened to Shlomo. Obviously, chronologically, there's a bit of problem here, because Torah was written before this happened, but again, this is just trying to give an example of be very cautious when you darshan tamei dekra. Exactly.
Shlomo said he could overcome the temptations, and even he couldn't. So, what's the chance to the rest of us?
Exactly. V'kotei sefer Torah l'shmo tana u'bilvad shelo yigid na'e b'shel avotav. Okay, he shouldn't take his parents' sefer Torah. He needs to have his own sefer Torah. Amar Rabba, af al pi she'inichu lo avotav. La'adam sefer Torah, mitzvah lichtov mishelo, sh'ne'emar, v'ata kitvu lachem et hashira. Okay, Rabbah takes this to every person. But even if your parents leave your sefer Torah, it's still a mitzvah for you to write your own sefer Torah. And that's from v'ata kitvu lachem et hashira hazot, which is ha'azinu, but it's a remez to the Torah, and from here we learn that it's a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah. Eitiv Abaye, Abaye questions, v'kotev lo sefer Torah l'shmo, shelo yine'e b'shel achirim. Which sounds like Melech In Hedyot Lo. So Ma Pitom, you're connecting this to a regular person. Lo Tzricha L'Shtei Torot. With the Chidush by the Melech is that he needs two Torahs, and everyone else, the mitzvah for them to write one Torah. Ukiditanya, and how do we know that he writes two? V'katav Lo Et, he could look in the Torah or for the whole Pasuk. V'haya kishivto, this is about in the Pesukim about the Melech, al kisei mamlechto, in Dvarim, Perek Yud Zayin, v'katav lo et mishneh ha-Torah hazot al sefer melepnei ha-Kohanim ha-Leviim. What does it mean, mishneh Torah, right? You could think it means sefer Dvarim, but mishneh, kotev l'shmo shtei Torah, min lashon shnayim. Chat shiyotze v'nechneset imo, v'chat shemunach alo b'beit ginzav. Ota shiyotze v'nechneset imo, so... Right, we'll read this in parentheses, but we'll read it. Oseo to kimin kemea v'toleb izro'o sh'nemar shiviti l'ashem l'negdi tami kimi mini bal evmot. Okay, so he makes this mini sefer Torah that can be always with him. Eino nichnas ba lo lebet hamarchatz v'lo lebet hakisei. He can't go into the bathhouse or to the outhouse. Sh'nemar v'haitaimo v'karabo makom ha-ro'oi litkarot bo, likraot bo. Right, any place where you can actually read from it, but not a place where you can't. Amar Mezutra v'itamar ma'ukva. B'tchilan ina Torah l'Yisrael b'chtav ivri v'lashon ha-kodesh. Now we'll see why we get to this, because in the end they're going to darshan Mishneh. Mishneh could be right, secondary, like Dvarim is secondary to the Torah. It's almost like a review. Mishneh could be milashon. So now we said the king needs two. Right, again, second. But you could also use Mishneh milashon shinoi. So now they're going to say the Torah was originally given to the Jews bichtav ivri and lashon hakodesh chazra v'ninalem bimei Ezra bichtav ashurit v'lashon arami. Okay, so now what happened? Originally we got the Torah in ancient ktav ivri script and lashon hakodesh, and later it was given to ktav ashurit, which is basically the tav that we use today in a sefer Torah, and in lashon arami. Now, this is strange. What do you mean the Torah is in lashon arami? So it was Hebrew letters, but Aramaic language. Beiru lehem liYisrael k'tav ha'shirit v'lashon ha'kodesh v'hinichu lehedyotot. They took the Ketav HaShuri and the Lashon HaKodesh, and they left that for the Hedyoto. We'll see who they are in a minute. The Ketav Ivrit v'Lashon Arami, Nichol Hedyoto, sorry, I misread. What did the Jews do? They took Ketav HaShuri and Lashon HaKodesh, and they left for the Hedyoto, the Ketav Ivri and Lashon Arami. Okay? Which, man Hedyoto, and Amrav Chisda Kutai. Okay, and apparently, no, that this is in the Koran. I saw a note that says that the Shomronim actually still use this ancient Ketav Ivri. If you look in the Koran, if you have access to it, they have what the Ketav Ivri looks like. It doesn't look, it's very
much like ours.
Right. It doesn't look very much like ours. It looks more like a hieroglyphic type language. And basically, they kept, you know, instead of originally the Torah was Ketav Ivri with Lashon Ivri, with Lashon HaKodesh, they took the Ketav, the Lashon Arami and the Ketav Ivri, both of the not such good things, at least we're going to see later, that they talk about Ketav Ivri. Whether ancient Ketav Ivri is a good thing or not a good thing, we're going to see. Some people think it's okay, some people think it's not. But according to this theory, originally it was Ketav Ivri, and eventually Ezra made it into Ketav Ashurit, which is what we use today. Amar Chista, Kutai, my Ketav Ivrit.
No.
How do you read this? Oh, Amrav Chisda Kutai, sorry. My Ketav Ivrit, Amrav Chisda Ketav Libonai. Okay, that's what they call it. That's what this ancient Ketav is. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ra'oi Heya Ezra Shetinatein Torah Al Yado LiYisrael. Yumalei Kedamo Moshe. Okay, in other words, had Moshe not come, he would have been Ra'oi. How do we know this? B'Moshe Hu Omer, U'Moshe Ala El Elohim. B'Ezra Hu Omer, Hu Ezra Ala Mi Bavel. So Allah with Moshe, who Allah l'adhim l'kabel ta Torah, and they say when Ezra Allah mi bavel, malia ha'amor kan Torah, afalia ha'amor lahalan Torah. Okay, and when it's a reference to the fact that he could have gone up to get the Torah. B'moshe hu omer v'otitzi v'abe'eta hi l'lamed etchem chukim u'mishpatim, u'be'ezra hu omer, here we're going to see another similar pasu. So Hashem commanded Moshe, the chukim and the mishpatim, to teach them. And by Ezra it says, "Ki Ezra echin levavo lidrosh haTorah Hashem v'lasotu lelamei b'Yisrael chokum mishpat." So the same idea. He was supposed to teach the people. He was there to teach the people chokum mishpat. Va'avav pishaloni na Torah al yado. Now what happened? Moshe trumped him. He came before him, and he had no option. But what happened? Nishtana al yado ktav shene'amar. Okay, so now we're going to say that he was zoche, that the ktav was changed by him to the ktav ashurit, which is considered a better ktav. And how do we learn this? This is a very strange reference. Okay, here we're going to quote a pasuk from Ezra, where they're actually talking about, the whole pasuk is like this. V'yame artash, I always have problems with this name. Artachshasta, katav bishlam mitidra tava'el, ushar kama. Okay, he wrote this letter, okay, al melech paras, uktav hanishtavan katuv aramit umiturgam aramit. It's talking about, this is something that Artachshasta wrote. Uktava nishtavon, but look at the root of nishtavon. Nishtavon means milashon lishanot. Okay? Katuv aramit umiturgam aramit. Uktiv lo kahalen katva mikra upshara lahoda'a lemalka. Okay, that there was no one who. Now, this is in Daniel. That, okay, different pasuk. There was something that Balshitzar wrote that no one understood how to read it. Okay? Uktiv. Bekatavet Mishneh Torah Hazot. Okay, now we're back. I told you we were going to get this. The king has to write this Mishneh Torah. Ktav Haraoi Lehishtanot. It's a ktav that's eventually going to change. Laman is, so basically what we're using these psukim from Daniel. Daniel is proving that basically, why could nobody read what Balshitzar wrote? Because it was a new ktav that nobody knew how to read. And Ezra was the one who changed the Torah to this new ktav. Okay,
by
and that we see from Ktav HaNishtavan. Well, then over time, people learned how to read it. But according to this Perush, Daniel was the only one who knew how to read it. No one else knew how to read it, but it was this new Lashon that I guess Ezra taught the people, and the Jews knew, but maybe no one else in the court of Balshitzar knew except for Daniel. And then there's all reference from Mishneh Torah, because it's a Ktav HaRuya Lishtanot. V'lama Nikra Ashurit, She'alai Mehem Me'ashur, because they got it from the Assyrians. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, B'tchila, B'chtav Zen, it's not Torah Yisrael. Really, the Ketav HaShurit is the ideal. It wasn't given B'chtav Ivri and switched HaShurit. It was given actually b'ktav asherit, but what happened? Chat'u, kevan shechat'u, nehapach lahem l'ro'etz. Since the people sinned, it became to them like a... There's a few different interpretations of this. I don't remember all of them, but... Right, it was basically like a thorn. Right, I was going to say like a thorn in their side. Okay, and they basically lost the ability to understand that language or ktav, I guess. But kevan shechazru bahen ichziru lahen. Once they did tshuva, then it came back to them. Shneamar shuvu lebitzaron asirei hatikva. Okay, this is a pasuk from Zechariah, and it says you have to read the end of it. Gam, oh, it's actually here. Gam hayom magid mishne. Okay, so again, they say, Magi Mishneh Ashiv Lach. Okay, what does it mean? I'll return to you your lost ktav. Lama nikra shma ashurit, shem usheret b'ktav. Okay, it's the happiest of the ktavim. Okay, meaning it's the best. It's the nicest. Okay, if you look at the two, if you look in the Quran later, you can see the two. If you look at them side by side, our language does look a lot nicer. It's more identifiable. Hieroglyphics are a little more simplistic and... more complicated. Rishum Ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Ben Elazar Ben Parta, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Modei. Okay, a chain of who said what. Ktav ze lo nishane kol ikar. It's clear that we started with Ktav Asherit. How do we know this? Shene Amar, Vavei HaAmudim. It says about the Mishkan, about the Vavei HaAmudim. What are Vavei HaAmudim? Poles. They're like a Vav. They're straight up. Okay, a Vav doesn't look like that in Ktav Ivri. Ma amudim lo nishtanu, avavim lo nishtanu. Okay, they say just like the amudim never changed, the vavim also look the way they looked, and it comes from the vav. Vomer ve'ela yudim kichtavam ochil shonam. Ma lishonam lo nishtana, av ktavam lo nishtane. Okay, this is also by in Megillat Esther about the kichtavam kilshonam, right? So their lashon never changed and their ktav never changed. Ela, ma ni mekem mishneh Torah zot. So now going back to where we started, what do we do with this Mishneh Torah if it's asui lishtanot, according to this drasha? It means something else. Lishtei Torot. Echad sheyotzei, now we're back to where we started. Echad sheyotzei v'nechneset imo, v'chad shemunacha bebeit ginzav. Ota sheyotzei v'nechneset imo, osei otan kimi kimiyav. Toleb Yisrael, shenemar, shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamim. So basically, we have two different approaches about how to darshan Mishneh Torah. Is it that he needs two separate Torah, or is it Milashon Shinui, that talks about the language of the Torah is going to change, that has nothing to do with the king, and it's just talking about referencing the fact that Ezra was Mechadesh, this Ktav Asherit, and then there's a debate about whether he was Mechadesh it, or whether it was something that existed before, and he just brought it back. Okay. According to this, they darshan Shiviti Lashon L'Negdi Tamid is for the, it's a Pasuk in Tehillim, and it's for the king. But now we're going to see, so now if you say the king needs the second Torah to be by his side at all times, so what do we do with the opinion that doesn't think he had this extra Torah that came with him, right? The opinion that thinks that Shne Torah means the Torah is going to lishtanot. Be'ida chai shiviti, and this is going to be your more, the traditional use that we know of shiviti Hashem Legdi Tibin. If you're going to most shuls, you'll see it somewhere in the shul. My darish bay, haume baile lechidir Rav Chana bar Bizna. Dam Rav Chana bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chasida. Hamit palel tzarich shir etzmo ki ilu shchina kenegdo. When you're davening, you have to feel like the shchina is kenegdecha. Shneamar shivit yashem lenedi tamid. Right, Hashem should be put before me always. Le Rav Shimon damar ktav ze lo nishtane. My lo kahalan ktav ala mikra. So if you say that this ktav never changed, so what is this? Why is it that no one else knew how to read this and only Daniel knew how to read it? If it wasn't that there was some new ktav that no one had seen before. Amarav, bigam matria ichtov lahon, yitat, idach, pug chamat. It was written in those letters, okay? My parish lahu. Now, if you look in Daniel, it says that Daniel read it, and this is what he said it was. When he explained to the king what it says, he said, mana mana tekal uparsin. Okay, which means, that, okay, so one second. Yeah, we're going to explain it right now. Okay, but what gematria isn't, gematria we often think of the numerical value. Gematria also is atbash, where it's a code, right? Aleph switches with taf, and bet switches with shin, etc. So what it really meant was, it was written as yitat, yitat, idach, buk, mochamat, and it was a reference to menamena takil uparsin. What does this mean? Menamena eloha machutach. The days of your malchut are numbered. Mina, like milashon limno, to count. Counted are the days of your malchut. Okay? Tekil is tekil tabimozna, v'ishtakach chasir. they are measured in a in your they're weighed and they don't stand up to par. They're basically chaser. Okay, that's takel. Uparsin is prisat machutach v'yavi l'mahadai uparas. Okay, so your days are numbered. You've been weighed and you don't weigh up, and now your malchut is going to be given away to other people. So that's mana mana tkalu parsin. That's what he read, and that's what he told the king. Ushmuel amar, he said, don't think it was adbash. It was a different code. It was mamtus ninakfe aalran. Now, if you write those letters five across, then five across, then five across, and you read them down, you get mana mana takal uparsin. Okay, you basically read it like that. Rabbi Yochanan amar, anam anam lakat nisrafu, which is it was read also three. It was backwards, right? Mina anam anam takal, right? It was written in the the reverse order, where it was written from. I think you call that limafrea, where it's written backwards to forwards instead of forwards to backwards. Rav Ashi amar nama nama kital porsin. Okay, he says that the second letter came before the first letter. Okay, so nama, it should be mana, mana, right? And nama, nama, tikal, it's ketal, and porsin is instead of uparsin. Okay, so different ways that it was written. Was it a code? Was it in a different, right? These are all different ways. If it's not that it was a different ktav, it was that it was some sort of code. Why it's so important to figure out exactly what the code was is a very good question. I have a good answer to that. Ein rochvin nu mishnah. Ein rochvin al suso ve'ein yoshvin al kiso ve'ein mishtamshim b'sharvito. All sorts of things. You can't ride on the horse of the king. You can't. This sounds like a reference to Megillat Esther, right? Ein yoshvin al kiso. You can't sit on the king's throne. Ve'ein mishtamshim b'sharvito. You can't use his sharvit. Ve'ein his scepter. Ve'ein ro'ino to kishuhu mistaper. You're not allowed to see him when he gets his haircut. We're going to learn today all about the haircut of the king. Haircut of the Kohen Gadol. Below Kishu Arom, you can't see him naked. Below Kishu Bebet HaMerchatz, and not when he's in the bathhouse. Shenemar, Som Tassim Alecha Melech, Shetei Mato Alecha. By the way, I never said this, and we've seen this a number of times. The Alecha they darshan, right? It's upon you, meaning his fear should be upon you. That's what it means, Som Tassim Alecha Melech. And otherwise, it should just say, Som Tassim Melech, make a king. What does it mean, Alecha?
You need to
the fear of the king should be, exactly. You should be in awe of him. Therefore, keep your distance.
It's almost like the geder for the Torah. It's the geder for the king. It falls out differently, but you can't come too close. You need to put extra barriers to make sure that you maintain the proper kavod.
Yafeh, which connects also to the whole issue about can a melech be mochel in his kavod, can a talmid chacham be mochel in his kavod, where those sugyos come up, zeliyad zeh, right, where they're both mentioned. Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan. Avishag muteret l'shlomo v'asura l'adoniyahu. Now we're going to talk about Avishag HaShunamit. If you remember in the very beginning of Sefer Melechim, what happens, David HaMelech is sick, and they bring him Avishag HaShunamit to warm him up. Whatever exactly that means. And now, and at the same time, he wants to pass the Malchut to Shlomo, but instead Adoniyahu is trying to become king. He figures David doesn't know what's going on. Batsheva figures out what's going on, goes and tells Natan, right, and they come up with this plan about how to tell David. Anyway, now we're going to talk about Avishag. So Avishag was muteret to Shlomo, but asura l'Adoniyahu. Why? Muteret to Shlomo de melech hayahu. Melech mishtamesh b'sharvito shal melech. Right? A king can use the sharvit of another king, the scepter. Asura l'Adoniyahu de hedyotu. Okay? Because he was a hedyot. Avishag mahi. What was Avishag exactly? Dichtiv ha-melech David zakein ba'abi yamim. Vayomu lo'avadav yivakshu. Right? As Avadim say, we need to find the king, someone to warm him up. Uktiv, v'yivakshu nara yafa, they find a beautiful maiden. Uktiv, v'nara yafa ad me'od, v'ti l'melech sochenet, v'tishartehu. She becomes for the king a servant, or a, I don't know how they define sochenet, maidservant.
She served him. But.
Okay. Amra ninsiban, she said, why don't we get married? Okay, great, this explains. Right. What do you mean he has this woman with him without marrying her? So she actually said, why don't you marry me? Amar la, asiratli. I can't because I have too many wives. Amar le, chasre leganva, nafshe leshlam, chasre leganva, nafshe leshlama nakit. Right? A ganav, who has nothing to steal, and that's someone who has nothing to steal, calls himself an ish shalom. He basically, right, how would you translate this? That
upright.
Upright. She's trying to say, you're being so upright, like, you can't do this, but you don't... I guess, right, the point is that you don't have...
If you have no option to do the wrong thing, then you can claim you're doing the right thing. So if there's a man who has no victims from whom to steal, then can claim that he's upright, that he wouldn't steal. Because if anybody steals from anyway, why shouldn't he?
Right. Claim his so own. What's he claiming? That he can't... now I remember. What she's basically saying is, you're claiming you can't marry me, but you could marry me anyway because you can't even have relations. You're so old and you're so sick, and it's not like we could actually have sex together. That's really what that's what the translation is. So what does David say in reaction? Amar lehu, kiru li lebat sheva. Okay, call bat sheva for me and I'll show you that I can still hold my own. Uktiv vatavo bat sheva el hamelech hachadra. And what does it say? Tavo, right? Beyond the Torah is always, they have relations. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Botash at Kincha bat sheva b'shloshes rei mapot. She cleaned herself with 13 mapot, meaning that he had sex with her 13 times. Okay. Interesting, Gemara. Amar Rav Shemen bar Abba, bo re'e, kama kashin gerushin. What do we learn from this? David said, I can't marry you because I have 18 wives. But what could he have done if he wanted her at this given point? He could have divorced one of them. So what do you learn from here? Now we're going to have a whole thing about how bad divorce is, and we're going to get into this about relationships and wives and what it's like when you lose your spouse. We just talked about yichud and how yichud is such an issue. There we go, sir, and yichud. And now we see that gerushin is so much worse because they said, better he be miyachay with this woman than go divorce one of his wives. That's how it shows you how difficult divorce is.
It does seem odd that not one of them has died. 18 is a lot of wives, and here he is pretty old.
It's true. It's true. Whether or not he really had 18 at that given point is a good question. But this is the ability of the Midrash to kind of fill in the details that are potentially missing, whether they're actually true or not. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kol megaresh yishto rishona, afilu mizbeach morid alav dma'ot. Okay, if you divorce your first wife, there's a concept of your first wife is your beloved, your first love. It's like even the mizbeach is morid dma'ot, cries, shenemar, vizot sheni ta'asu, Ksut dim'at is Mizbach Hashem, Bechiva Anaka. Second. Right, this is, by the way, a Pasuk in Melachi. Okay, Zot Sheni Ta'asu, Kasot dim'at Mizbach Hashem. This Shenit, they learn from there about a second. I guess Shenit, if you're going to marry someone else, I guess, divorce your first wife, I guess, that's where they darshan it. Kasot imam mizbech Hashem, so the mizbech is going to be covered with tma'ot. B'chiva anaka me'ein od pinot al hamincha v'lakach haratzon miyedchem. So now they say me'ein od pinot al hamincha v'lakach haratzon miyedchem. Uktiv v'amartem al ma al ki Hashem he'i bencha ben eshet nurecha. Oh, that's how they get it right. So because it says there, one second, this is right. The next pasuk is why is the mizbech crying? They said. Right, because al ki Hashem ei ben chau ben eshet nurecha asher ata bagadet haba v'hi chavertecha ve'eshet britecha. In other words, your first love is your eshet, your chavera, your eshet britecha, and that's why the mizbeach is crying. Am Rabbi Yochanan v'itema Rabbi Elazar. By the way, this seems to indicate that he bagadet haba, that by divorcing her, it's basically it's a bigida, it's a betrayal of her. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'itema Rabbi Elazar. Ein ishto shel adam meta, elen kem mevakshim mimenu mamon. Ve'ein lo. Shene'emar, v'im ein lecha l'shalem, lama yikach mishkavcha mitachtecha. Okay, this is a pasuk from Mishlei. If you don't have what to pay, why are they going to take your, in other words, you should always pay back your loans, otherwise they're going to take your wife away from you. Okay, so they say that a person's wife dies because he owes money to somebody. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol adam shemeta ishto vishona, okay, if his wife dies before him, predeceases him, it's as if the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in his day. That's how hard it is for him. This, by the way, except for one small part we're going to see of this, most of this is written from the man's eye, which makes sense because this was written by men, and they were reading it very much through the male's experience.
It also explains why my earlier point that maybe one of his wives died is not the direction that they're going.
Because
clearly he, you know, the owing money, because it's such, all these reasons why it's a bad sign of the husband if the wife has died.
It's a bad sign, I see. So this one, I don't think it means it's a bad sign. This I understood to mean, this is how hard it is for a man. That for him, it's as if the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in his day. The first one is a negative thing, but yeah. So Shenemar Ben Adam, how do we know this? Because Yechezkel, the famous. What happens in Yechezkel? One of the worst things he has to do, the hardest things, God says, your wife's going to die, lo tispo, lo tivkev, lo tavodimatcha, you're not going to be able to eulogize her, you're not going to cry, you're not going to, your tears aren't going to come. Uktiv, adaber ala'am baboker, and then, right, so then Yechezkel speaks to the people, v'tamat ishti ba'erev, in the morning, and then in the afternoon, his wife died. Uktiv, hinani, or in the evening, hinani mechalel et mikdashi ga'onus chem achmad enichem, and then Hashem says, I'm going to destroy your my mikdash, go nuschem, and your machmad enichem. And because of that, it compares it to the churban. I'm Rabbi Alexandri. Kol adam shemeta ishto b'yamav, olam chashach ba'ado. Here's the same idea. If his wife dies, it's as if his whole world shuts down, becomes dark. Shenemar or choshach bo'alo, v'nero alav yida'ach. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina amar psiotav mitkatzrot. His steps become much smaller. Shenemar. This is in Iov. Also, the other one was in Iov. Yetzru tzadei ono v'tashlicheo atzato. Okay, so the assumption is, yetzru tzadei ono, that they became smaller. Rabbi Avahu amar, atzato nofelet, sh'nemar v'tashlicheo atzato. Okay, that he also can't give advice anymore. Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kashe, I was thinking, maybe these are signs of, you know, macho-ness almost, that, you know, you walk tall, you walk proud, you have big steps, you give advice to people, and all these things kind of disappear when your wife dies. I'm a Rabbi Abrahan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kashel zavgam ki kriyat yamsuf. Okay, it's very hard for God to make these zivugim, like kriyat yamsuf, shenemar. Elohim moshiv yechidim beita, motzi asirim bekosharot, al tukre motzi asirim, ela ki motzi asirim. Al tukre bekosharot, ela bechi vishirot. When was there Bechi Vashirot at Kriyat Yam Suf? Even Mitzrayim were crying, the Jews were happy, were singing. And Kemotzi Asirim is like the Jews got out of Egypt from slavery. So then they say, so Elohim Moshiv Yechidim Beita, he puts Yechidim in their houses like they got out of Yam Suf. So now they say, wait a minute, Ini Vahamar of Yuna Marav. Arba'im yom kodim yitzirat havla bat kol yotzeit v'omer ba ploni l'ploni. What do you mean? The whole thing is predetermined. It's so easy, right? We all know how easy it is to find your match. Lo kashya, ha b'zivug rishon, ha b'zivug sheni. They say, ah, your first match, your bashert, basically, is, you know, is easy. But the second one is much more complicated. Okay,
they don't bring in the story here, which they've brought in before the Roman matron who says, oh, yes, Rabbi Akiva.
Right, exactly. It's brought in a different context later, and which there it seems to be all zivugim. So this answer is a little strange. I seem to remember that I saw some other interpretation about zivug rishon, zivug sheni. It doesn't necessarily mean first marriage, second marriage.
There's not
but I forget what it is. Okay. Yeah, I think the Koran had a note about it.
Interesting that they have this. They went off onto death, but starting with the divorces, how awful they are, and you shouldn't.
Right,
do
and
it.
Then from but there,
we
they
never saw that in Gita.
Right, we didn't see any. It's true.
It's
the first source we've seen about Gerushin, really, in terms of being a negative thing, from what I remember, anyway. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, l'kol yesh tmura chutz me'eshet nurim. Everything has a replacement except for your first love, Shneamar, your first wife, Shneamar ve'eshet nurim ki tima'es. Right where the pasuk is, ki kishazuva v'atzuva ruach k'rach Hashem ve'eshet nurim ki tima'es amar aluhayich. Okay, that's the worst. Mane la Rav Yehuda la Rav Yitzchak Berei, ein adam otze kor ruach elam yishto rishona, Shneamar v'him korech baruch. That gives him the most pleasure in life. Amarlo kigom man. So he said. So he said this to his son. And his son said, "Like who?" And Amarlo kigom imcha. He said, "Like your mother," meaning like my wife. Ini, is that really true? You're going to enjoy this one. V'ham mikre le Rav Yehuda or Rav Yitzchak Berei. But didn't Rav Yehuda, the same person, say to Rav Yitzchak his son, "Umotze ani mar mimavet et haisha asher hu mitzudim v'charamim." V'amarlo kigon man, he said like who? V'amarlo kigon imcha. Now you understand why the son asked like who? Because he said, I didn't understand. Last time you called my mother a horrible person. Now you're calling her a wonderful person. Anyone who's married, right, or has relationships with anybody can understand, right? Some days you're having good days. Some days you're having bad days. Okay? So anyway, how could this be? So what does he answer? Mitzkaf tekife ibure. Mitzkaf tekife ibure ma'abra bimila. She gets very angry, but then she's appeased after that. Okay, now that she's
very forgiving.
Right, she's forgiving. Okay, she's over alamidot, they say, right? Like she's forgiving of things over, in other words, right? So this is classic with relationships with people.
This suggests sometimes it's actually different stages. Not that she went back and forth, or this that says that he found peace and serenity with her because she learned to vanquish those characteristics that were by sheer force of will. She would find her natural disposition, and therefore he treasured the relationship.
That's a good, interesting one. But the other one to me seems much more applicable in all situations, right? That some days, you're have a very good relationship, and other days you're not struggling. So, in the context of that, I prefer to go with this interpretation. I think it's great that the Gemara lines them up. The same guy said to his son about, the same exact person. What do you mean, my mother? Really? Okay. It's nice that also he's teaching this to his son.
Exactly.
Things are complicated. Although, interestingly, he didn't say them at the same time. At least it doesn't seem he said them at the same time. Amar Shmuel bar Oni Mishmei deRav. Isha golem hi. Ve'ena koretet brit ela lemisha asa'a kli. Shene'amar ki bo alayach osayach Hashem tzva'ot. Hashem tzva'ot shmo. Okay, this is a strange one. This is that a woman is like raw material, and basically she's kareid brit to the person, to her first, the person who sleeps with her the first time, and he basically forms her into who she is. Okay, not exactly the most feminist of Gemaras, but basically that she's, right, ki bo alayich osayach Hashem tzva'ot shmo, in other words, the one who creates, right, it's like Hashem created us, kind of formed us, because we're the women in the relationship. Likewise, a husband does that to his wife. But it explains why the relationship between a first wife is very solid. Tana ein ish meit ela liishto, vein isha meita ela labala. Okay, this means that, and here they actually give the woman's perspective, that when a man dies, it's the hardest for the wife, and when a woman dies, it's the hardest for her husband. How do we know this? Ein ish meit ela liishto, shenemar vayamat ali melech ish Naomi. Says, right, husband of Naomi. Ve'enisha meta lelevala, shne'emar, va'ani bevui mipadan meta alai Rachel. Right, he talks about it, that she died for me, basically, right? Meaning it was hardest on me. Okay, back to the now we're going to get to the hairdo. You can't watch the king while he's getting his haircut. Tana Rabbanan, melech mistaper bekol yom. Okay, the king gets a haircut every single day. Kohen gadol, which makes it hard, by the way, not to look at him. It doesn't talk about, by the way, what does the haircutter do. But okay. Kohen gadol me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. Kohen gadol once a week. Kohen edyot echad l'shloshim yom. Okay, now we're going to explain the sources for these. Melech mistaper b'kol yom sh'ne'emar melech b'yofyo techezana enecha. Right, a king should always be seen in his beauty, therefore he should get his haircut every day. Kohen gadol me'erev Shabbat. Amar Shmuel bar Nachman. Amar b'yachanan. Ho'ilu mishmarot mitchadshot. So every week when he goes to the new mishmar and the new kohanim come in, he needs to be there to greet them, and he needs to have his hair cut.
Can he also not be seen?
What?
Can he also not be seen?
It doesn't say that.
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't say that. Right, I don't think so. I don't think there's an issue. Kohen Idyot, because we would have mentioned it in the Kohen Mishnayim. Kohen Idyot, Echad L'Shloshim Yom, Dichtiv. Here we quote a pasuk from Yechezkel, again, a lot of pasukim from Yechezkel today. V'rosham lo yigalechu, upera lo yishachu. Okay, they shouldn't shave their heads entirely. And they shouldn't, pera lo yishalechu, their hair shouldn't run wild. Kasom yikasmo rashehem. They should always keep their hair shortly trimmed. V'yalit pera pera mi nazir, right? They learn pera from the nazir. K'tiv hacha pera lo yishalechu, k'tiv hatam by the nazir. Gadel pera sa'ar rosho. This brings back to nazir. Malahalan shloshim, afkan shloshim. Just like the nazir, stam nazir ud shloshim yom. Here also with the kohen shloshim yom. Utna nami, stam nazir ud shloshim yom. V'hata manalan, how do we know stam nazir ud shloshim yom? Am rav matna damar kra, kadoshi hiyeh. Begamatria taltin. Okay, since he's kodesh, kodesh begamatria is 30. Right. Oh, sorry, Yehiyeh is the 30. I was thinking that's not 30. Right, Kodesh Yehiyeh, the Yehiyeh is 30 begamatria. Talton Havu. By the way, this reminds me of having lots of, army people around, right? It's in the army, they always make you get your hair cut, right? It's a certain look that they're looking for. So it's the same kind of thing here. Amalei Rav Papa Labai, Ema lo lirbu klal, right? Maybe they shouldn't grow it at all. Amalei, Iktiv lo yishalechu pera kidika amarta. You can't have it a little para, just not nishlach, not really long. So then this whole thing about the para, it's mentioned in the same context. Well, it's mentioned by the Kohanim. So then they're going to say, well, if that's Kohanim, maybe nowadays also Kohanim should always have to get their haircuts every 30 days. Jumia di Yayin. They say, no, it's like Yayin. First of all, Yayin comes up in the Psukim by Yechezkel also, right after that. Ma Yayin bizman bi'ah huda asur, de lo bizman bi'ah share. Yayin is only asur when they go into the Mikdash, when you can go into the Beit HaMikdash. When there's no Beit HaMikdash, it's mutar for the Kohanim to drink wine. No one ever said you can't drink wine if you're a Kohen. Aprue rosh bizman bi'ah asur, shelo bizman bi'ah share. So now, believe it or not, they're going to question. V'yayin shelo bizman bi'ah share. Is it really mutar when there's no Beit HaMikdash? V'hatanya, Rebbe Omer. Omer ani, Kohanim asurim l'shot yayin le'olam. Rebbe says, really? Kohanim can't drink wine ever. But what's the problem? That takanato kilkalato. What happened? When the Churban happened, all the Mishmarot Kuna got all mixed up. In which case, when the Beit HaMikdash, and why can't they drink wine forever? Because maybe all of a sudden the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and if they're drunk, they won't be able to do the Avodah. But since all the Mishmarot got messed up anyway, so it's going to take them time to figure everything out, and by the time they sort everything out, they won't be drunk anymore. V'amar Abaye, kiman shate kahana chamra ha'idna. So according to where these Kohanim drinking wine nowadays, ki Rebbe, right? Based on Rebbe. But michlal, from here we can infer what? De Rabbanan Asre, that actually the Rabbanan said it's, Rebbe said it's okay now. But it sounds like Tanak the Chachamim would disagree. So now they say, Hatamainu tama mehera yibane Beit HaMikdash. So now they're going to write. So if you say the Chachamim actually say the Kohanim shouldn't drink wine nowadays, so maybe Kohanim also shouldn't cut their hair nowadays. So they say, the whole reason for drinking wine is because Meher Yibane Beit HaMikdash, and they'll be drunk, and we won't have Kohanim or we'll even avoda. Hachanami bina Kohen or we'll avoda veleika. Right? So we should say the same thing by the haircuts. Right? They'll have long hair. We won't be able to. Won't be able to have a Kohen. So what do they answer now? Hacha efshar demispar va'ayil. Right? In other words, they could just quickly, can have a barber standing outside the Beit HaMikdash, quickly shaving everyone's hair, and they'll be able to go into the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So it's not a big delay.
More and more they should be questioning, why shouldn't they always keep their hair ready?
That's what they're questioning. Why should nowadays they be allowed to grow their hair long?
Okay,
and the answer is because haircut is something you can easily get
rid
of.
So it's not why they should, okay.
Right, so now the question is, Hatam Nami, Afshar Denai Importa Va'ayel, but getting drunk also, you can go to sleep a little and wake up and you'll be fine. Tamar Avacha, Derech Mil V'Sheina Kol Shum V'Figinat Hayayin. If you walk a distance of a meal and you sleep a little bit, that'll get you away from being drunk. But they say, no. V'lav itmar alam rav nachman amar rav ravua lo shanu ela sheshata kedei revit. Aval yoter mechtei revit, kol shekein diderach torah detova sheina meshakar tov. It makes it even worse. If you drink so much wine, it's going to make it way worse. Rav Ashi amar. Okay, so from here you see, by the way, that according to Chachamim, they really can't drink wine nowadays. But I didn't look up the halacha lamasa, but I've never heard that before. The Kohanim can't get drunk. Rav Ashi Amar, I can see other reasons why someone might not want to get drunk, but Rav Ashi Amar, Shtuyei into Machle Avoda, Gazru Buhu Rabbanan. Prurei Rosh de Lo Machle Avoda, Lo Gazru Buhu Rabbanan. So now they say, Rav Ashi gives a different reason to distinguish. Shtuyei Yayin is Mechala the Avoda, and therefore Gazru Rabbanan. But if you go Prurei Rosh, it's not going to, and you go into the Beit HaMikdash with long hair, you do the Avoda, it's not going to be Mechala the Avoda, and that's why Lo Gazru Buhu Rabbanan. And now they ask a question. Meitive, ve'elu shebimita, these ones who get killed, purei rosh ushtuye ayin. So bishlam ushtuye ayin, dechtiv yayin v'shechar al tish, atau banecha v'lo tamutu. Ela, purei rosh minalan. So now they say, right, these people who are the people who get killed. If you go into the Beit HaMikdash, also purei rosh and also ushtuye ayin. So they say, we understand ushtuye ayin because it says yayin v'shechar al tish, atau banecha v'lo tamutu. So we could see why you would get killed. Ela, purei rosh minalan. So they say, because remember, Purei Rosh doesn't come up in the Torah. Just the Yayin and Shechar comes up in the Torah. Purei Rosh came up in Yechezkel. So they say, Di itka shtuye Yayin l'Purei Rosh. K'tiv u'rosham lo yigalechu perolei shalechu. And it also says there, V'Yayin lo yishtu. So in Yechezkel, they're all mentioned together. So ma shtuye Yayin b'mita, a Purei Rosh b'mita. Okay, they all get mita. U'mina ma shtuye Yayin d'mach le'avoda, a Purei Rosh d'mach le'avoda. So now they say, just like the Shtui Yayin is Mechala the Avoda. Also, the Purei Rosh would be Mechala the Avoda. So now they say, so how could Rav Ashi say that that's the distinction? Kasha, it's difficult. Amar Ravina le Rav Ashi. Hi, Adelo Ata Yechezkel Man Amara. But this is all learned out from Yechezkel. So before Yechezkel came along, who said this, right? Where do we know this from? So they say, wait a minute. According, that's a silly question. There was something else that we didn't know from Moshe. We learned from Yechezkel from the same parak. Kol ben nechar arel lev. V'arel basar lo yavo mikdashi l'sharteni. So what did we learn? From Yechezkel, we learned that a kohen, if for whatever reason didn't have a brit milah, can't be masharet in the mikdash. What, you're going to ask the same question there? What, you think before Yechezkel this didn't exist? Ela gemara gemirela. Va'ati Yechezkel va'asmacha akra. Okay, this smichut akra is different than usual. Usually we find some pasuk. This is Yechezkel created a pasuk so that we'd have a pasuk to go by. In other words, it was a masoret. Yechezkel wrote it down in a pasuk. Hachanami, we could say the same thing here. Gemara gemirela va'ati Yechezkel va'asmacha akra. Don't think that this was some new thing. My kasomi kasmot rashehem, they have to trim their hair. Tana kemin tisporet lul yanit. Okay, there was this unique tisporet. Now, according to this, the way the Gemara seems to be indicating, we're talking specifically about a Kohen Gadol now. Even though those particular were referencing really the regular Kohen, seems like these words, kasomi kasmot rashehem, and the way they're learning that this it's the, this unique hairdo was something that the Kohen Gadol had, which was, some people say even the Kohen had yod. But it was a tispora lul yanit. My tispora lul yanit. I obviously don't know what that is. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Tispora ta yechida'a. Okay, it was a unique one. Okay. Hechidami. I'm Rav Ashi. Rasho shalze betzadi karo shalze. Each hair follicle would then, like, end where the next one started. Okay, they wouldn't overlap at all. There's a bunch of different interpretations. Some people say it was some curly thing where they would, like, shave off. It's unclear exactly what this means. Okay? Shalu et Rebbe, ezu tisporet shel kohen gadol. What does it look like? Amar lehem, tzu re'u mi tisporet shel ben elasa. Okay, this is a debate. This was, by the way, the chatan of Rebbe. And according to Rashi, he spent a lot of money to learn how to do this type of haircut. He was a hairdresser, okay, but who specialized in kohen gadol haircuts, which I guess it was a big market. It was every week. At least he had someone needing a haircut. Maybe not the biggest market, only once a week, but at least once a week he had someone. Anyway, he obviously did other haircuts, but this was, you know, or we don't know. Anyway, some people say it was actually his own haircut. He had a tisporet. It wasn't that he was the hairdresser, but he paid a lot of money to get the haircut like the Kohen Gadol has. Tanya Rebbe Omer, lo chinam pizer ben alasam otav. This wasn't bechinam. It wasn't for, you know, it wasn't like he wasted his money. Ele kadei laharopo tisporet shel Kohen Gadol. He wanted to teach people what the tisporet of the Kohen Gadol was. So either he gave it to people or he actually did it himself and walked around with it. Hadron alach Kohen Gadol. Nice way to end the parak with we started with the Kohen Gadol, even though we got into the king. We ended with the Kohen Gadol and his unique hairstyle. Interesting. You wouldn't exactly think that this is where we'd end. Okay. Next parak, Zeborer, all about Beitin Shaborurin.